Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. The Supreme Court of the right wing is starting to deliver. We are starting to have results. That is heartwarming because for decades, and in fact, I didn't know, but for basically a century, a law had been existing in New York City, like there exist in many other places in America. And I've never understood this as an immigrant when I was living in the US. I saw the Second Amendment that says the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. And yet I was seeing these rules like you cannot have arms if you are downtown, or you cannot have arms in this city or that city. I was confused. Does it mean that these cities just don't respect the Constitution? Well, it was the case, but we needed a Supreme Court to be able to have the balls to decide we're going to abolish these rules. And today we have the first advancement on this question since a long time. It is not a final victory in the sense that it leaves a lot of places for cities to find tricks to frame their laws in a way that will be compatible with the judgment here. But at least you have escaped becoming exactly like Canada, which is that in Canada, basically, self-defense is not a valid reason to get a firearm, and they will apply this to deprive you of your right to have any firearms. Self-defense is not a reason. And New York City basically had written a law that was saying you need to be a citizen with a special need for self-defense that is higher than the average person in your workforce. So you had to prove that basically you were at very high risk of being attacked more than the average person, when in fact the whole idea of the American Constitution is to defend the rights of the average person. If being the average person is not enough to have your rights, then you are severely misunderstanding the American Constitution. Which is why today's judgment by the Supreme Court relies on the 14th Amendment. You cannot ask citizens to be in a state of higher threat than the average before you give them the means to self-defense. The Supreme Court states under Clarence Thomas today, the right to self-defense is available to the average citizen. Therefore, a law that makes a special exception or that requires the citizen to be a special citizen is precisely in violation of equality of treatment under the law. So extremely good outcome here. I hope that this leads all sorts of cities to fail with their gun legislation, because there is still plenty of legislation that keeps you from certain uses of firearms, and mostly just carrying. Some random bloke says, how hard is it to get an illegal gun in Canada? Surely it would be easy to get a smuggled one from the US? No, it's not that easy. I don't think so. First in Canada, if you get seen with a firearm, in Canada, that's special, because in the US you have this culture of open carry, which people are supposed to feel safer around, although there are some leftists who are triggered by it. But in Canada, I went to the firearms course, and the guy tells you, hide your firearm. The guy tells you, here in Canada, you know, don't even have the windows open while you clean your firearm inside, because your neighbor will call the police if he sees you having a firearm. So it's a very different country that reacts probably much more to a gun than you would in the US. Some random bloke says you have to be a hunter or a gun collector and the laws are strict as fuck. Absolutely. It's extremely strict. It's unbelievable. About the Truth Media says that's not a ban. There are 1 million firearm owners in Australia. But yeah, the laws are strict in Australia. Well, the handgun ownership is a ban. In the sense that they will only give permits to the police. And handguns have been truly banned since the last few weeks by Justin Trudeau in terms of purchasing new ones. Now, you had the already existing ones, which he didn't go after. But that means there will be a slow diminishment in the growth of handgun-having citizens in Canada. Absolutely ridiculous to have this ban. You're basically saying to a new generation of young adults, you cannot benefit from the rights that we had protected for your parents. Supreme Court expands gun rights. Biden is reacting. A lot of people are calling on Biden to find various ways to continue legislating against guns. In fact, the DOJ wrote an open letter stating that they respectfully disagree with the Supreme Court, and they will continue imposing gun legislation and gun restrictions in America. What does that mean? You just had a Supreme Court make a decision. You're not a party to that decision. You have to respect the law. That the law has been decided, and your reaction is to say, "I disagree," and we will continue applying gun legislation rules. What does that mean? Do you intend to ignore the Supreme Court's decision? Because some leftists are starting to call for ignoring it, and that is starting to create a severe schism in America, because really, if leftist states decide to ignore the Supreme Court, they can. That's the problem. The Supreme Court has no way to go after them. It doesn't have its private army or whatever. So it's a big problem. If leftist states want to persecute gun owners, they will be able to make life difficult for them for years, and they will create new innovative ways of phrasing their laws, which will take years before it gets to the Supreme Court. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, I was shocked to hear a New York Times Twitter space where the speaker was praising the decision for providing equity in gun ownership for minorities, not the typical response from the left. Oh yeah, that's we've heard that kind of argument. I'm not super fond of them, but it's like we've had one of these guys on the show. In fact, the leader of these guys. The whole argument of, oh yeah, as a black guy, I actually like the Second Amendment, and I want to have equal access to gun rights, which it's never been the question. Any of these laws are not meant to oppress or not oppress black people. They are meant to oppress gun owners and to oppress people who have a desire for self-defense. And they up the standard for self-defense, and they say, prove to us that you're about to die. It's like, no, the concept of self-defense is that you prepare it, and you're willing to deploy it at any time when your life is threatened. You don't know that your life will be threatened in advance. I ran just before the show, which is why I'm taking the time to drink a little bit of my apple juice. Because just before the show, I had realized I had been leaving the automated watering on potatoes and onions, and I went to close it. This one is not yet scheduled, so it's not like my other parts of the greenhouse where I have remote control. This one I had to run to the field to go shut it down because I didn't want it to continue during the show. The potatoes and onions are doing good. John Drake says gun runners can make a huge margin here. A $600 pistol from the US can be sold here for 6K in Toronto anyway. Okay, I don't know about this black market stuff. I don't know how it works in Canada. James says democracy only works for those who have the power. That is how all authority works. Democracy is an illusion. I agree that democracy is an illusion, certainly in our world. But it's democracy, even if it wasn't an illusion, democracy is wrong to begin with. Biden, deeply disappointed by the SCOTUS ruling on open carry. More than a century later, that is after the law was instated, more than a century later, the United States Supreme Court has chosen to strike down New York's long-established authority to protect its citizens. This is such twisted phrasing. You are in a debate around self-defense, and you're talking about New York's long-established authority to protect its citizens. See how twisted this is? This is gaslighting to a certain extent. Because the right to self-defense is not a right of the state to defend its citizens. That's not what it is. The right to self-defense is the right of people to defend themselves. But no, they talk about the authority to protect their citizens. Well, if the protection of these citizens require abolishing their constitutional rights, then it doesn't have the authority. Much of the ruling was written around history, and pro-gun control people were arguing that precisely in the last century there's been a lot of gun control measures, but the Supreme Court pointed out that we should understand the Second Amendment as part of its historical context when it was written and much further into the past. And that for the average citizen in the history of America, the Second Amendment has always meant the basic right to carry a basic weapon without molestation from the state, basically. And they were making the point, it really doesn't change anything if the Constitution started to be violated 100 years ago. It's no more part of our history, especially if before that 100 years mark, there is historical evidence that that's how people interpreted the First Amendment, the Second Amendment for much longer than this. So that was their argument. Arguments in history, they don't. They are grounded in some degree of subjectivity, but for now it's the right form of subjectivity because it's a bunch of right-wing justices. John Drake says democracy is the shits. Democracy, the God that failed, by Hans Hermann Hoppe, is one of my favorite books. Can't recommend it more highly. Yes, I've never read it in full, but I read the segments and I certainly agree with his main thesis. All right, if you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats, and it is the right way to support the show. Alternatively, if you want to join us on Entropy offers free questions as well as super chats. Don't hesitate to use it. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Kamen Sider has already sent a super chat. He says, one moment. He says, the Chad meme is used to launder antisocial ideas and ideas of irresponsible or impulsive behavior. Example, idea of beating a woman, of being disrespectful to stranger, of driving recklessly. By association with the handsome man, ideas become clean. To a certain extent, I think some of the memes may push what we may call in general, I guess, a truly toxic form of masculinity. I've rarely seen, to be honest, the Chad meme being being used in the context of just beating a woman. It's very rare that it has this disgrace to it, although I can imagine that somewhere on the internet you'll find that. What can I say? I don't think we should be dropping the Chad meme under the bus because it can be misused. And I also don't think that these things that you mention, being disrespectful to strangers, for example, I think that this society demands a little more disrespect to a little more people. And if there is a Chad showing up and doing it in a meme, I think it's good with me. Now, you talk about driving recklessly. Let's not forget that there is a sarcastic use of the Chad meme, just like there is a sarcastic use of the based meme. Like, you'll hear someone like Vash, for example, will see some behavior that is, of course, not according to his belief as a leftist, but perhaps some overly right-wing behavior, and is going to say sarcastically, based? Like, or even some really despicable behavior. Like, sometimes you're gonna see a criminal just committing a crime, but somehow that crime has a twist to it, where you are, oh, maybe it was a good idea. No, I don't think so. Based, people ask the question based in an interrogative form, to kind of to harmonize themselves with their surrounding, asking to their surrounding, do we support this? And the Chad meme sometimes has a similar sarcastic component to it. Chad, where you don't actually believe it's Chad, but you just say it to test people around you. So I wouldn't be too alarmed by these things. I think the Chad meme is largely well used and largely used for good. Chicago is like Afghanistan. Ken Griffin is moving Citadel to Miami, leaving Chicago crime cesspool behind. Ken Griffin has added with the Chicago crime cesspool. The billionaire is moving Citadel's headquarters to Miami, the third major employer after Boeing and Caterpillar, to announce the move of a corporate headquarters from Illinois in the past 2 months after the trading titan decried the city's crime rate and voiced frustrations with political leadership in Illinois. Man, it's not going to take much time before these leftists completely handicap their state in terms of capacity to attract investment. I mean, I can't believe that this guy was operating a financial business, a trading business in Chicago. Are you insane? Like, just having people with ties and suits, they're going to be spotted on the streets. They're going to be targeted to be subject to burglary and assault. Forget it. Firestarter says, is Citadel the corpo behind the GameStop thing? I don't know that they were behind the GameStop thing. I think they were short GameStop, and They were one of the they were short something, and they were one of the companies stuck in losing some degree of, some amount of money from the rise, the surprise rise of some of these stocks, if I remember correctly. US court rules boycotting Israel is not protected by free speech because it's commercial activity, which the government has the right to regulate so they can force you not to boycott Israel in order to work with the state. Unbelievable. How can people not woke to the JQ interpret this as anything other than Zog when presented with the evidence? Frightening US appeals court upholds Arkansas anti-BDS law. I hope that this gets to the Supreme Court because boycotting is not a commercial, strictly commercial decision. Boycotting is a free speech action. Calling people to boycott is a matter of free speech. It's really not the not buying part of boycotting that is the boycotting. It's the attempt to convince people through signaling by your economic decision that you should not do this, or you should not do this, or you should not support this state. So it is absolutely a First Amendment concern. I'm so sad that a court concludes this because, precisely in the moral signal, I make the argument that decisions are signals. That if you make a decision, if you buy something, you are signaling to other people around you a couple of things. You're signaling, I'm willing to engage with this business partner to buy or sell to him. You're signaling, I prefer this item than what I'm trading it for. And you may be signaling in those cases of not buying, in those cases of boycotting. You are signaling a deeply moral and political statements to others around you. It is absolutely a free speech issue. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, even if this ruling allows for more defensive gun use, it will still likely lead to more theft of legal guns and increased gun violence in and around big cities. I think that I would side here with the Supreme Court, who actually stated in their decision, we have to keep ourselves from making those utilitarian harm calculation empirical analysis. The Constitution states the principle and it states it clearly. It doesn't say there will be less harm that way or more harm that way, or you're going to be more alarmed at the crime rates in your city that way. It just says this is a principle and it's unbreakable. Don't impede on people's right to bear arms. So that's the side I would choose. I would simply say the question of harm is inherently a leftist already succeeded at bringing you on his field. Because harm is the battlefield of leftist, and they will always select the harms they see, and they will not select, they will not talk about the harms they don't see. For example, they will be completely insensitive. They will be completely insensitive. Oh, people are saying that there is buffering. Well, hopefully this will fix itself soon. Some random bloke says, "Hey Jeff, it's buffering." For example, leftists will completely ignore the harm done to people who don't get the chance to self-defend. They will absolutely deny victim of crime harms. And they will deny those based on the consequences of their policies. They will not want to hear that a certain immigration policy has led to a bad consequence for a person being the victim of a crime, or that a gun law has restricted someone from being able to defend themselves. Fractal Man says, how would it lead to more gun theft? Well, probably because you've just made a gun more valuable in New York because now you can bear it. But you know, it's like saying, no, we shouldn't engage in free commerce because, you know, having all those stores out there will lead to more theft. Well, if you don't engage in commerce at all, then you have nothing. Then you have nothing to steal from. So you don't have theft, but you don't have the advantages of commerce either. Some random bloke has sent a super chat. What is your view on Israel? They are an albatross around the West's neck. They are basically national socialist and practice apartheid, but want open borders and hyper-liberalism in the West. Well, that is there is a problem with the way Israel has gained control from of the American military and of the American economy to some extent. I wouldn't obsess about it too much, though. Israel itself. Because Israel itself, I think, is losing a little bit of power. You can just see it in the way they have failed at getting a continued engagement of America in the Middle East, at least in terms of ground war. Like, we don't invade countries for now. For now, well, let's pray. But for now, we don't invade countries anymore for Israel. Now, we're still very much engage in international warfare through our support of Ukraine. But I can see the grasp of Israel on the specific policy making, decision making of the American military to be waning away and possibly going away at some point. Although not now, and it's not over. I don't want to paint a rosy picture here, but the fact is that people are getting tired, even on the left, the anti-war left. People are getting tired at our never-ending foreign involvement in endless wars. So, yes, Israel has shown absolute control over the American military, but I think there will be an end to it eventually. Now, Israeli interests have also taken over the American economy in many ways, and you could argue that the entire rise of the left is really a globalist project that is totally in line with Israeli interest. We shouldn't obsess about this either, and we should create economies that are resistant to this kind of grifting, this kind of exploitation. And yeah, so that's you say that it is an albatross around the West neck. Maybe that's it's a statement that is true, but we can liberate ourselves from this. It's a long road ahead, but we can liberate ourselves from this by claiming our own sovereignty and saying, you know, your counseling and what you want us to do, we won't listen to it anymore. I guess that you have to claim your liberty at some point, and the problem of America is that it didn't claim its sovereignty really. It claimed its strength across the world and its ability to impact the world out there, but it didn't yet claim independence from Israeli interest, and I hope that one day it comes. But until it comes, you don't have to live under an impression that you're not sovereign. You can convince yourself that You are sovereign. It's just that the rest of your society has failed at claiming your degree of sovereignty, and you have to persuade them and try to bring them around with you. About the truth, media says whites need more of this sovereignty stuff. Exactly. And most people do not evolve to claim their sovereignty and to claim... All right, I'm not going to let anything in the world tell me that I cannot set my life for myself and set my directions. But yeah, Bitcoin, John Drake, Bitcoin is a great way to gain sovereignty. Absolutely. Those are developments that are encouraging to me. The fact that a new path is being traced for people who want to live outside of the system. Cam Insider says, do you think the strength of a claim of ownership of a pet is directly proportional to the amount of care and attention given to the pet? Care and attention can be measured in dollars and time. For example, suppose one purchased a dog. After 6 months of routine care and attention, the dog disappears and is lost. A stranger finds the dog and gives it routine care and attention for the next 3 years. On an accidental meeting, the original owner is reunited with the dog. Who do you think has a stronger claim of ownership at this point? The original owner or the newest owner? To me, it is always the original owner. Because to me, the amount of care that you show for an object or a thing or an animal is not a measure of ownership. And ownership is not even an empirically derivable concept. It's not something you measure in the universe. There's no ownership in the universe. There's no objective concept of it. So when we talk of ownership, to me, we talk of the contractual and consent world. We ask the question, within the sphere of human affairs, did you acquire this thing in a way that you would be reasonably certain that you haven't stolen it? And was it easy for you at the moment you gathered that dog to know that there must have been some owner of it? And I think that if you find a dog on the streets, it is reasonably assumed that this dog must be lost, that there must have been an owner to this dog. You cannot assume abandonment for something that is valuable, and particularly something that can have feelings of attachment being directed toward. So I think it would be an unreasonable conclusion to say, I found something of value, I cared for it, therefore it's mine. You have to make a reasonable attempt at resolving all property chains so that all of these transfers are consensual. And so that means... You know, in certain contexts, it may mean not only to be sure that the person having it right now is giving it to you against money. Sometimes it may involve doing research to know that they've acquired it legally and that the person who had it before them has acquired it legally. And then you enter the domain of real estate, for example. That's exactly what they will do. When you buy a land... In certain states and in most places of Western civilization, they will do research to make sure that there aren't two people who have converged toward buying the same land. They will make sure that there's not a big company out there that has a claim to the entire territory and that you're buying a small land in it, but you don't realize this small land wasn't even legally owned by the person who sold it to you. it's a land on which there's contested claims. So that's why they will do research in history back hundreds of years at times to make sure that there are not double claims on your land. That is the work you have to do if there is a reasonable expectation that two people could be considered the legitimate owner of a thing. Callum Oxworth sends a super chat. He says, "Could you watch this video after the stream? It's a great resource for understanding price movement in Bitcoin. The channel has good Asperger's analysis without shilling promo links. Clues for moves in Bitcoin." Okay, I'll check it out. I'll check it out later. Thank you. What do we have on the news? Hate hoaxer Jussie Smollett is still insisting he was attacked by white Trump supporters. "I am not that motherfucker." Well, this is such a bizarre sentence that you hear in people who lie. They will tell, "No, it's not me. I don't feel like that person who lied." Well, you're experiencing dissociation because you cannot put it in your head that you are as stupid and as hateful and as evil as the person who did what you did. But that shows to me that you have still not integrated just how evil it is what you did. You tried to fool an entire people, and you tried to blood libel a bunch of political opponents of yours. It is absolutely ridiculous, and he looks terrible with this hat. There was a Jussie Smollett that was more shiny than this, let me tell you. But of course, he doesn't want to identify as a liar. But you are a liar. You've been caught. Disclose.tv says, "Justin, European Parliament adopted a resolution to grant Ukraine and Moldova candidate status. Final decision by the European Council imminent, and I believe that the final decision has been taken. So that would mean Ukraine and Moldova being the country that is with the little Transnistria region occupied by Russia. So they have joined Europe. Does that mean much? I don't know. To be honest, it means less for the Russia-Ukraine conflict than it means for the Western European nations. Because basically, what you have here in these countries joining the EU is the urgency of a situation of war pushing a bunch of low-grade nations into Europe, basically by twisting the arms of Europeans. Because this is what we have. We have countries that are so poor and so different from Europe in terms of their corrupted practices, their corrupted governments, their criminal structure of society, that they would have never made it into Europe if it wasn't of this war. So it really doesn't change much for the Russian side, but what it changes is that basically higher grade nations have been forced to accept these lower grade nations in Europe, and Europe means a little less than it used to under this dilution. Because if you can be the worst and most corrupted white country in the world and be in Europe, what does it mean then to be in Europe? If you, I mean, Ukraine is in Europe right now, in the European Union. Ukraine doesn't even allow political opposition to exist. They have seized all assets of political opponents. They have jailed political opponents. Think about what that means. I mean, the European Union, which has always been a dictatorial, anti-democratic, and technocratic system, just as now a criminal arm to its functioning, and it's seated in Ukraine. So be it. China faces power shortage as heat wave pushes demand to record. Chinese Premier Li Keqiang said this week that China should increase its coal production capacity in order to prevent power outages as the northern and central parts of the country are baking in a heat wave that is driving power consumption to record levels. All right, so I'm happy that the Chinese have so much ACs now that they experience power outage during the summer. But yeah, these ACs are an extreme burden on our energy. And, you know, we're going to have to reflect around this. We're going to have to ask just how much heat are we willing to produce on Earth just so we can keep our little spaces like our cars and our houses cold. But I understand. I've been living in hot climates at times, and you do feel a need for AC, but at some point it's going to become unsustainable. Sargon has a very interesting post on Lotus Eaters. It seems that years after my critique of Sargon, which was called, I believe, Sargon and the Liberal Quandary. Sargon's Liberal Quandary, or something like this. He has been reflecting around the inherent issue to classical liberalism. And he didn't get a post in which he will address all issues, but he's pointing out that he's conscious that these issues exist. These issues are as follows. One, that was an assumption of liberalism. So he calls them the five false assumptions of liberalism. One, the pre-social man in the state of nature. That is false. There's never been a pre-social man in a state of nature. Basically, since we distinguished ourselves from our monkey ancestors, we've always lived in groups. So Sargon shows that he understands this. Two, everyone is equal. So the equalitarian, we've discussed this as part of my addressing academic agents argument against libertarianism. But the idea that everyone is equal, everyone has equal protection or deserving of equal protection, is inherent to liberalism. Three, the universal man. Therefore, all men in the state of nature, it is reasoned, must have essentially the same and equal in all ways. They must have all been this theoretical universal man who belonged to no culture, existed in no time, and could be located in no place. For the blank slate, of course, the idea that our brain can be shaped in whatever ways the modern life decides it should be shaped, a false assumption of liberalism. Equality of opportunity. The moral demand for equality of opportunity bleeds into a demand for equality of outcome, as for everyone to truly have equal chances of achieving the vast variety of possible outcomes, each person must start at an identical position. That is a high reflection of the kind that I haven't seen from Sargon in a decade. So I'm super excited at this text. I guess that it's not the last, because he's saying I will not address all these points, but I will start listing them. I think that Sargon may be on his path. If he does the thinking for real on these 5 points, I think that he's on his path to become Super Based Sargon, Destroyer of Worlds. I think he's about to go just rampage. Of course, it's so late. It's like we were discussing with Sargon back in the days, and he was kind of open at least to discuss with us. But he somehow was always outside of us. He was never truly joining a truly radical right-wing position. And I think he's on his path. We Are the West says Sargon equals JF plus 10 years. Exactly. I can't believe it's got hammered into his brain. In 2022, when he's not on Twitter, I don't even know if he's on YouTube. Yes, I guess he is. But he's on his Lotus Eater platform and he realizes these things, which I've been making 2 hour streams about 10 years ago. I'm fascinated. I'm super encouraged. I certainly don't want to mock him for undertaking the right thinking process, because it truly is the right thinking process to realize how liberalism just doesn't work because of these contradictions. I especially like his point five. He realizes that the boundary between equality of opportunity and equality of outcome doesn't exist. What's an opportunity and what's an outcome? If you've never been an astronaut, have you really had the opportunity to become an astronaut? What are we talking here? We're talking about fictitious paths of life. We're saying, oh, well, you could have become an astronaut. There was not overt barriers keeping you from being an astronaut. Can I become an astronaut? Well, the thing is, like on the way toward becoming an astronaut, there certainly would be things that eventually lead me not to become an astronaut. So is there really an opportunity for me to be an astronaut? You could argue that no, that basically the world is set such that JF will not be an astronaut. Carlos Killface says JF Sargon was always protecting himself. Yeah, but I think that I don't know, maybe it kind of the cancellation that went around him. Not that he was explicitly canceled, but the kind of hate that built around him for interacting too much with the right and treading too much on in those waters, perhaps it has put him in, this kind of this special cognitive place of being in a mobile home with an empty beer bottle in your hand and being like, all right, I'm gonna reflect about the sense of existence. And it's like then JF knocks at your door and he's like, Sargon, you have to come back to the internet and realize the inherent contradictions within liberalism. And Sargon is throws his empty beer bottle at me and he's like, this is not my war, JF. I can't do it. Carlos Kilfes says the blank slate is the key pillar to liberalism slash leftism, in my opinion. Definitely. And it plays very much in the educational role. The educational branch of cultural Marxism. And just how they are successful at penetrating schools and young minds. Because this whole assumption that the brain is moldable is both the selling point and the weakness in the armor of traditionalism. It's like, oh, we're going to make your child better. Don't you want to leave your child with us for 8 hours? We're going to make him better. And really, there's very little evidence that we are causing an increase, that we are truly ameliorating society with the amount of education we dump into our child's heads. Tommy Robinson says unjabbed teachers to return to the classroom in Australia. Hats off to everyone who held the line. Wow. So the unjabbed teachers that had been fired will be back to their workstation. That is something I kind of predicted, in the sense that I said there would be a relaxation of all this vaccine obligation crap. And here we are. Even in Australia, I was right. That I didn't expect. Some random bloke sends a super chat. He says, what about the famine in East Africa? Apparently could force mass migration of millions to Europe. Brutal times ahead. Oh, well, don't talk to me about forcing migration. Our societies do not need to be forced to accept migrants. Our societies have unfortunately been taken control of by people who very much want migrants. And so don't tell me that it's going to be forced upon us. There's only one thing you need to do to not have those migrants, and it's to say, we're full, sorry, no immigration here, and then you enforce that law. Don't ever talk to me about a humanitarian crisis and tell to me, oh, we had no choice, we were forced to take them in. No, the people who control our society want to take them in. And the humanitarian causes and the particular history that they develop to sell it to you, I don't really care about it. Kamen Cider says JF chickens are available for purchase at as low a price as $5. Have you started building your chicken coop? No, I'm not at the chicken coop yet. I will get there at some point, but I have other priorities. I had my raised bed that I wanted to build. I want to finish the greenhouse ceiling. I had lots of planting, so I'm satisfied with my progress, but it has not yet materialized in animal husbandry. But I'll get there. I'm in no hurry because the fact is it's probably not going to be super economically interesting to be raising my own chicken, given the fact that we have our neighbor is already a farmer. He's selling us eggs, chicken, meat at wonderful prices. The fact is I'm probably going to lose money if I go into chicken farming, no matter the scale at which I do it. So I'm not in a super hurry. I would love to do it because it would be a realization, but I'll get there when my other priorities are dealt with. Ukraine granted EU candidate status as US provides another $450 million in military aid. I mean, at this point, the US is adopting basically the Joe Biden attitude with his son with respect to crack addiction. It's like, oh, here's a credit card, pay the expense of everyone. Like, we know how Hunter Biden was basically managing the money of Joe Biden indirectly and allowing all of the family to be on the credit card roll, and it led to absolute degenerate behavior. It's exactly what the US is doing with Ukraine. It's like helping an addict get more of his crack. And finally, as a last news item, police department shows off Pride Cruiser, which encourages people to report hate crimes. The Columbus Division of Police has been ridiculed on Twitter for proudly showing off a Pride Cruiser vehicle adorned with the LGBT rainbow flag that encourages people to report hate crime. Oh my god, this guy seems receptive as fuck. Well, reporting hate crime. Do we even have an end all on regular crimes at all before we can specialize in specific subsections of crimes? So apparently this is from Ohio, Columbus, Ohio. Well, good luck, people in Ohio. It seems that there's these states, these central but northern states of America, that are becoming slowly just as Democrat as the rest. Not a place to be, I guess. Not a place to be. All right, much love, everyone. I'm leaving. And if you would like to support the show, you join the Patreon or the Subscribestar. Don't forget that in 2 days from now, on Saturday, I'll have the Modern Day Debate. I'll be doing the 2v2 with T-Jump against Saul Cordova and Perspective Philosophy on Theism versus Atheism. Bye-bye and sleep well. Thank you.